Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Arkham Files, the wackiest, zaniest podcast about a bunch of guys playing sweet, sweet board games. Or role-playing games. That's what we're doing. But we got a special, extra special treat, birthday-sized treat for everybody today, because today is Donovan's birthday.
Yeah. Happy birthday, bro.
Happy birthday, guys.
18 years old.
I'm glad. This wasn't my idea. You guys did all this. I didn't put any of this together.
Finally a man. So Donovan's special request for his birthday is that rather than playing Call of Cthulhu, Donovan wanted to play his very first game of Dungeons & Dragons.
Dungeons & Donovan.
So we're taking a break from our usual brand, and we are moving into a D&D game. So for the first time, we're going to be playing some Dungeons & Dragons.
Yeah!
Don't worry for our regular audience here. Don't worry. Tying it all together to keep it somewhat on brand, we're actually going to be using Sandy Peterson's Cthulhu Mythos for 5e. If you guys haven't seen this rule book that he put out, it's pretty awesome. Honestly, I would recommend it if you like D&D and you like the Mythos, which is, you know, all of us and probably a big part of people who listen to these types of shows. Sandy Peterson, who, if you don't know, is the original creator of the Call of Cthulhu role-playing game back in the 80s, and has been, you know, involved with it over all these years up until today, but he and his company, they wrote this rulebook for 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons that brings all of the Mythos elements into the Dungeons & Dragons rule set. So they have, it's got a lot of cool stuff in there. It's got rules for insanity, rules for dread, which is a different element. Has new races that are mythos type races, like the ghoul, brought in to be playable character races. There's some new classes that are specific to the mythos. Lots of good mythos element tie-ins, books, spells, some cool new spell rules. Which we'll touch on some of this stuff as we play. Probably not end up using all of the new rule sets in here. But, so, that's what we're going to be playing out. So, it's going to be D&D with a COC flavor. You guys down with D&D?
You know, yeah. You know me.
You know me.
You down with COC?
Yeah.
You know me.
Hey, I think it needs to be mentioned that the baldest among us, Seth.
Why would you need to mention this?
Why do you have to always mention that?
Has never played D&D. He's also a D&D virgin.
Yeah, so that's, yes, this is also true, is that...
I never play.
no, okay, so all of us here at... Oh, Sam, you've actually played before.
Oh, yeah.
So
Xavier Firestorm.
I'm talking about 5th edition.
Oh, yeah.
But you did play some 5th edition.
Yeah, I played 5e.
All right, so Sam has played one or two games, and Abe has played before, but Donovan, Pete, and Seth have actually never played...
Never.
5th edition Dungeons & Dragons. Pete's played 4th. We used to have a campaign back in the day playing 4th edition, which is where
you've never done 5th?
We originally started, like, playing D&D.
He's going to do a line of 5th tonight.
Yeah, so Pete's first time playing 5th. Seth's first time playing D&D at all.
Ever.
Yeah,
so
and Donovan's first time
being
playing
Being fresh D&D. Into the D&D world, you guys are making a big deal out of this 4th and 5th. Is it really that big a difference?
Between 4th and 5th edition, yes. There's a huge difference between 4th edition and 5th edition. They changed the rules up a lot. And 4th edition is actually way the most different probably from all of the D&D editions. So they've changed the rules up quite a bit. 5th is I've actually never played 1 through 3 or 3.5. But I played 4th and 5th. I like 5th a lot. There's some elements in 4th that are cool, but yeah, I like 5th edition a lot. They streamlined a ton of stuff, made it really easy to run and pick up and play, and it runs pretty smooth. But so I guess for these guys who haven't played, and Pete for getting into the new rule set, and anybody listening who hasn't played D&D before, we can give you a little rundown of the differences here between like D&D and Call of Cthulhu, and just some of the high points on rules, the salient features here. It's a tabletop role-playing game. So essentially it's the same concept as D&D, where you're playing your character, you go through, you want to do things, you have an ability that lines up with whatever you're trying to do, you roll the dice to see if you succeed. So in Call of Cthulhu, you roll your two D10s and you're trying to roll under your skill level or your strength level or your ability level. In D&D, your primary dice that you're going to be using for most everything is your D20, which is your 20-sided die right here. And so for most every ability check or attack, you're going to roll your 20-sided die. And your character sheets, you're going to have you're going to have modifiers on all of your different skills and your abilities, like ability characteristics, which strength, dexterity. So basically, you're going to roll your d20, you're going to add your modifier, and your modifier has to beat whatever the difficulty level is of what you're trying to accomplish. Or, like, if you're making an attack and you're trying to hit somebody. So, like, if you guys see on your character sheet, you have your armor class, your AC. So if you want to attack a monster, you roll your d20, you add whatever your attack bonus is for your weapon, and then you got to get above that monster's DC, or their AC, I mean. If you beat that, then you hit them, and then you can roll for damage. So it's going to be the same thing for obstacles. Like if you want to accomplish something, like you want to go pick a lock, there's going to be a level of difficulty that I know, the DC that you have to beat. So it'd be a 12 or whatever. So you'll have to roll your lock picking skill, roll your d20, add your modifier, and you have to beat the difficulty level. If you succeed, then you accomplish whatever your task is. So one of the biggest things, especially for playing role-playing games, though, like as the dungeon master and the person running the game, I don't want you guys to concern yourself a ton about, like, oh, what are the rules? Is this following the rules? Just do what you want to do. Think of what you want to do. Throw it out there and let me worry about how to make it fit in the rules. If it's not going to work, it just won't work. And I'll tell you that. But yeah, more worry about, like, how can I accomplish what I'm trying to accomplish? One of the other big differences about D&D over Call of Cthulhu is D&D is very centered around your characters. Call of Cthulhu, your characters kind of die and go insane, and it's kind of a thing that you're going to lose your character at some point. So the character creation, I feel like, in Call of Cthulhu is definitely not as in-depth as you guys learned last night as we were building our D&D characters, and it took
a while.
Yeah, Seth is like, what
Seth
is
threw
this
a tantrum. Name?
Yeah,
I did.
I was like, we're on
nonsense.
Hour 3 of character
why
creation.
Why am I so bald? Yeah. I went bald in my character sheet.
I made my character bald.
Yeah.
That's what Donovan's talking about.
It's only
about.
Fair.
Not my personal person.
Yeah, Seth is just
Seth
covered
has
in hair.
Seth is covered in hair.
He is covered in hair. He's
I'm
the
like
hairiest Morris.
Yeah. But yeah, so like your characters
like sweater back over there.
Characters in D&D also are... D&D is heroic fantasy, right? Call of Cthulhu is more survival horror, or it's horror and, you know, it's cosmic horror is really what it's the genre is. But, you know, the whole kind of point of Call of Cthulhu is your characters are weak and feeble, and there's these big, scary, terrible elements that are so much bigger and more powerful and scarier than you are. And so that is where the horror comes from, your existential dread of the universe. D&D is it's heroic fantasy. So each one of your characters is a hero. They have they're stronger and cooler and faster and more skilled than the average person running around. That's why they're doing these awesome adventures that we're doing. So every one of your characters has abilities. You have cool special abilities that you can use, bonuses to doing cool stuff.
I need a hero.
Yeah. So that's just something to be aware of. Like be aware of, like I said, try not to focus on the rules too much, but do be aware of like the cool extra abilities that, yeah. So I'm glad Seth doesn't ever bog himself down with that nonsense. So you'll do great. But yeah, but do be aware of what cool things your characters can do, because they do have cool special abilities.
Like a long, I got long sword.
Yeah.
It's not an ability.
Yeah. Another thing is the inspiration mechanic. So if you guys do something, and this is a role-playing mechanic, it's to encourage you guys to role-play your characters, which you guys do a good job of anyway. But so like if you do something especially good with your role-playing, and typically it's like, you know, because a lot of times in games, it's like there's the thing that's the obviously beneficial thing to do, but your character wouldn't really do that because it's not in their character, you know. And so you choose, you're like, of course I want to go take this bag of gold coins from this tiny child, but my guy wouldn't really do that. But so if you're playing your character and you play your character well, especially in something where it's like you kind of take a disadvantage because of one of your character traits, then you can earn inspiration, which is basically like an extra reroll. It's like it's like getting an advantage in your pocket that you can choose to throw out there to reroll something.
Is that an advantage in your pocket? You're just happy to see me.
That's my inspiration.
Reason in my life.
All right. Yeah, so and my way that I do inspiration, I have these
gold
D20s. Which, if you guys do something inspiring, this is how I hand out inspiration points. I will chuck you one of these rad gold D20s.
It's like a gold star in grade school.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So take your notes.
Yeah, let me write
that down.
It's
like a golden ticket.
I'm giving Pete one right now because he's been taking notes a little bit.
Yeah, dude, he's got like 2 pages worth of notes. What the crap? Am I supposed to be doing something?
He's the best player. He's writing down his spells. He has spells. You don't have spells.
I don't have spells.
So that is something you guys are going to see. We have a couple new races that these guys have picked to play for their classes, and those are out of the Sandy Peterson Cthulhu Mythos book. So you'll be, if you're wondering, like, what the heck is that thing? Why is Sam a cat? That's why.
I mean, just as an example.
Yeah.
One thing I think that's kind of cool, to maybe this doesn't matter to our listeners, I don't know, but we are all in the same room.
In the same room.
It's pretty awesome. Yeah. This is the first time since
birthday party, D&D.
The second recording of Mr. Corbett.
So it's been a few years since we've all been able to get together
which
and actually play.
The show.
4 years.
Yeah. So
we'll see 4 years ago we recorded Corbett.
We'll see how catastrophic this goes.
Abe wasn't even around for the first recording.
Record, right?
Second, oh my gosh.
Yeah, the second Corbett was Abe's first.
That was my first show.
Oh, yeah,
that
first
was Abe's
appearance
first
in the show.
That's what I remember. Yeah. It was hilarious.
That was when I butted myself in.
Hey guys, it's me, Billy. Billy.
Oh, hey.
Oh, hey.
Oh, hey.
Can I come play stickball with you guys?
Billy.
Hey, I'm not the only one that struggled to find his voice.
Yeah,
off the bat.
Come on, guys.
You convinced me.
We've all struggled to find
our voice. I've never struggled.
I still struggle to find my voice.
Yeah, Sam has to do it every single time.
Yeah, Tallahassee Turner is a perfect Sean Connery.
Okay, so also another new thing that I forgot to add before, there is a new skill.
What's it called?
It's called Yogg-Sothothery, Donovan. But basically, it's like it's a wisdom skill. It's like the Arcana skill or the religion skill.
I'm proficient in religion.
Oh my gosh. So actually, if you want to, instead of being proficient in religion, you can take the Yogg-Sothothery skill.
Yogg-Soth, here I come.
So for those of you guys that play Call of Cthulhu, this would kind of be, I think, the corollary to the Cthulhu Mythos skill. over here brought over into D&D, Yog-Sothothery, which I don't know if you guys know that, but that's the original, like,
mythos.
That's what, skill. Yeah. Well, that's what H.P. Lovecraft called his mythos stuff. He didn't call it the mythos, he called it Yog-Sothothery, which is kind of funny. But yeah, so you can take that. It's a skill you can use. It's going to be like how you discern the outer cosmic alien weirdness that is the mythos. So if you find something like that, you would use your Yog-Sothothery skill instead of Arcana or Religion or whatever. So anyways, oh, the only other effect is that if you are, unless you're like an undead creature or something, you get a penalty equal to half your proficiency bonus when rolling to save against effects like dread or insanity or fear and things like that. So, Donovan, that is something that we're going to be aware of moving forward. But it's good. I like it. Okay, so I think that covers the most important things. Anything pops up in the game, we'll talk about it. So, without further ado, let us move into our very first D&D game for the Arkham Files. Files, an actual play, Call of Cthulhu, and Dungeons & Dragons podcast. Featuring Abel Morrison as Mathon.
How can you be a bard? You're the ugliest creature alive.
Seth Morrison as Tim.
All right, gents, stick to the shadows. Stay close to the trees. Climb them if you have to.
Donovan Ballard as Drandy Savage.
Let's just say I wanted to go for a midnight stroll with my cat.
Peter Morrison as Glenn Gulia.
Perhaps they're in need of some entertainment.
Sam Morrison as Major Baker's Cat.
Well, my name is Major Baker's Cat. Meow.
And I'm your Dungeon Master, Alex Morrison. Now grab onto some dice and your acid arrow. Let's find some hot MILFs in your area. Can you feel it? Right now, can you feel the weight? Most likely you can't, but it is there nonetheless. The weight of everything pulling you down, pressing you into the earth. And it is everything. As Sir Isaac Newton so eloquently stated in his law of universal gravitation, that every particle attracts every other particle in the universe with a force that is directly proportional to the product of their masses and inversely proportional to the square of the distance between their centers. And thus, what the sublime equation for this inverse square law so elegantly demonstrates, while the force might be infinitesimally small, it is never zero. And so everything in the universe is, in fact, pulling on you. But it is a weight you have become so accustomed to that you stride through life, head held high, never feeling the force of galaxies weighing upon you. But what is the weight of responsibility, of regret, of the knowledge of what should be but isn't, and only will be if you shoulder the burden? Of knowing the ways of what should be and what could be and all the ways from here to there and that you have been tasked to keep them. Is this the weight that bows our heads, that hunches our shoulders, that causes us to hesitate and question from the very beginning, am I my brother's keeper? The weight of the universe we can bear without a bead of sweat falling from our brow, but at the weight of bearing the responsibility for one another, of a family, a legacy, our knees buckle and we are found wanting. Is this the weight that eventually pulls us down into our graves?
that over the years, the accumulation of so much regret from promises unkept, obligations unmet, and still more responsibilities weighing ahead, that they eventually bend us so low and press us down into the dirt. Will we too cry up from the dust for relief? That then, finally, we can be free? Or will we crawl, fingers scraping for just one more inch along the way? If we are gone, who will take up the burden? Who will be brother to us? For if the keeper falls along the way, who is left to keep them? This is the Arkham Files. Case 003.5. Keeper of the Ways. Date, unknown. Location, unknown.
Everything is dark. It's just blackness. That's all you can see. Then suddenly, you're standing. You're in a place. You don't know where you are. You're confused at everything that's around you. There are strange geometric structures. They're huge, gigantic. They reach all the way up, seeming like into the sky. The sky, which is also just a strange, strange color. Suddenly, something small goes overhead. Wait, no, it's not small, it's just far away. It's actually gigantic as it flies through the air. You hear a distant roar as it speeds past overhead. Confusion, dread sets in. And then, your eyes open. Dr. Simeon, you're... That's not your name. What is your name?
You know what my name is. Say it.
I don't know what your name is. I called you Dr. Simeon. Dr. Simeon isn't your name. What's your name? You know what your name is.
I should have changed it. Oh, well. You're going to go with
you
it.
You can change it if you want to.
It's too late now.
It's not. It's really not.
All right. My name is Dragon Bee Daddy. Fire breather from the north. Oh
my God. Did you say Dragon Bee Daddy?
You're damn right.
Like Johnny Bee Good?
Yeah, Dragon Bee Daddy.
Bee for okay. Good.
So, no, yes, that's who you are.
Yes.
Dragon Bee Daddy, you open your eyes, and you're looking up at the sky.
Are we really going with this?
Dragon Bee Daddy? It's his character. He can pick his name.
It's my birthday.
I mean, it makes
it... I can
it,
be daddy if I want to.
It makes it real hard for me to strike a serious tone for any of this game by calling him Dragon Bee Daddy the whole time, but I can call him Daddy for short. Okay. Dragon Bee Daddy.
Yes.
You open your eyes.
Opened.
You're laying flat on the ground.
Why?
But at least now you're looking up at a normal sky.
Hell yeah.
You're looking around. You see some trees. You sit up. And you are... Everything's hazy in your mind. You're still getting flashes of that strange other place that start to fade a bit like a weird waking dream. But not completely. You still feel uneasy. Looking around, you're in a clearing. A flat clearing that appears to be on the top of a hill. There's some trees around. But directly across from you, you see boots. Also, the bottom of boots pointing up towards the sky. And as you're looking at them, you realize that they're attached to another... person who's also lying flat on his back.
Is it a cat?
Across from you. No, it's not a cat in boots. The cat is off to your right, lying flat on the ground. And that's when you realize that looking around, you also see another, what looks like a person to your left, lying flat on the ground, laying face up. And then across from you, off to the right a bit, also everyone's feet pointing towards each other.
That's impossible. Cats always land on their feet.
In a circle, except the cat, who's on its feet, though also seems to be unconscious. You see what looks to be a large animal of some kind. It's covered in hair, covered in fur.
It's Seth.
Except for Seth. Is it Seth?
I told you, I'm a rug.
And then you see what looks like a human across from you, sits up and opens his eyes. The next thing that strikes you, though, you remember your name, sort of. You kind of thought your name was something else for a second, but you don't remember much else. You don't know how you ended up here on this hilltop. You don't really know who you are. Mm. You also don't know who any of these people are that are around you. So, Seth, you open up your eyes. You see the sky. You lean up and you see some sort of strange dragon person sitting up across from you. Dragon Bee Daddy, would you like to describe yourself?
Yeah.
What is Seth C?
I finally remember what my real name is. It's Drandy Savage.
All right, Drandy Savage.
Yeah, sorry
so
about that,
So your name is not Dr. Simeon Can't Stand Your Bits or Dragon Bee Daddy.
Well, my friends call me Dragon Daddy. What you're looking at is a well-formed dragon. Pecs like you had never seen before. Six-pack of the gods. And, hell yeah, you noticed it. You see it. Ass is rock hard as the biggest mountain you ever seen. I got a shield. I got a cape. It's red. Blood like the red moon. You know, when the moon goes red. You've seen that before, haven't you?
Oh, you see.
Of course.
It.
Hell yeah, brother. Now listen here. I got boots on. You think a dragon can't wear boots? Hell yeah. You think a cat can just wear boots? Nuh-uh. Anyways, that's me.
All right. So you see that. You also see what appears to be some kind of holy symbol around his neck.
Holy.
Right? Isn't that what your holy symbol is? You do have a holy symbol.
Yes. Yes,
so,
yes, yes.
Which makes you think that this dragon... You know this race, it's a dragonborn. What color are you, by the way, dragonborn? Not that it matters, we don't see color, but it does matter some, a little bit.
I'm black as hell.
Okay, so a black dragonborn across from you appears to have some sort of holy symbol.
Does it matter?
Well, it doesn't matter because it affects what kind of black breath weapon you have. So that's the only thing. Okay, so yes, you see he has some sort of holy symbol around his neck. So judging by his getup, he appears to be some sort of holy warrior, maybe a paladin, as these words are starting to form back into your mind.
You swear a lot for a paladin.
Why don't you mind your damn business, brother?
So, Seth, what does... Drandy Savage see?
What do your dragonborn eyes see?
Yeah, what does this dragonborn eyes see?
So can I do, I gotta know who I am, right? Like, I'm not fully amnesiatic or whatever, right?
You vaguely remember your name. For a second, you thought it was Tallahassee Turner, or maybe that was me, but,
Well, the reason I'm asking is because I had an intro. Can I just go with that intro?
Okay.
All right. So I sit up. About 6'1", 180 pounds. I've got black, thick black hair, and I'm wearing a long, dark black cloak. And I don't remember much, but I do remember some things. I feel that I am the cause of sending many souls out of this world to meet their fate. And I do remember that I am one with the darkness. I am the shadow of death. I am the Grim Reaper. If you see me, I am the last thing you will ever see. I am your worst nightmare. They call me Tim.
Tim. All right, so you see Tim, the bloodthirsty assassin.
I heard it coming, dude. I didn't know, not the name, but I was expecting something.
I didn't know,
something.
I didn't know the name. I thought he was going to say Massachusetts Marvin.
No, just him.
I love the voice. That's
Thanks.
Sounds badass.
You also have a weird, hazy memory of that strange other place with the enormous structures. So, and then one by one around you, you're alarmed for a second as you see some sort of giant bear creature next to you. And a what appears to also just be a ordinary house cat.
Meow.
And then what also looks to your right maybe looks like another human lying down, who then also blinks awake, sits up, looking around at the strange creatures surrounding him. Pete.
Oh, that's me.
What do they see when you sit up?
My character is finely dressed, wearing a nice fitted suit. Slung over his shoulder is a...
Is your name Dom Drunkard?
No, this is Dom Drunkard.
I hear no difference at all.
That's it. Go with somebody else. I hate this game. All right. I'm very furry, but I'm nicely dressed. I wear an ascot. Go ahead.
And he has a loot case next to him.
Yeah.
You also notice maybe a little bit of dirt kind of sprinkled around on him. So, some sort of enormous bear monster sits up and looks around. And Abe, would you like to describe yourself?
Oh, no.
Hey, boo-boo. Where's my picnic basket?
Oh, no. Dude, you got Drandy Savage.
Well, kill me.
I believe I left my food at home. How are all you guys doing?
You sound Canadian.
Take off, you hosers. Take off, eh? Give me back my food.
All right, that's not really me. But I couldn't resist.
Jeez Louise. Maybe the worst game we've ever played. Okay. All right, so what do they see, Abe?
The big bear monster sits up. 7.5 feet tall, furry, unshaven, very furry.
He's a furry bear with just a shaven face.
And he's bald.
No, I don't shave. It's
do
it's
they have that
fur
back in
all over.
D&D? Can you shave in D&D?
Yeah, you can shave in D&D.
Bald.
It's a fantasy, bro. You can shave if you want.
That's what floats your
He's
boat.
A middle-aged bear.
Big bear. That's about it. I'm unarmored at this point, so.
All right. So you see a.
Oh
big
wait! I've got a shield.
And chainmail, actually.
Oh, I'm wearing chainmail.
Oh yeah, brother! I got a big old shield.
And a shield,
long sword
on my back that I was laying on.
Yeah. So you see this big, brawny, hairy bear creature, though the face isn't like a bear. The face is more humanoid than a bear, not like a snout. Almost like a Bigfoot.
Very Harry much Anderson? Bigfooty.
Hey, what's your real accent for this,
or a
character?
Or a bugbear.
I don't know yet.
A Randy Savage type voice.
Who are you? Is that something I can maintain? I don't know.
Probably not. That sounds like Batman.
Where are the other drugs coming from? Where are the drugs coming from?
Swear to me.
You got this.
He's not wearing hockey pads.
All right.
You can just do your Billy McConnell voice like Pete's doing his voice.
So, yeah, you're
Barry McConnell.
Barry. Is it spelled B-E-A-R-Y?
B-E-A-R-Y.
Barry.
Barry.
Barry McConnell. All right. So, he looks very capable being a giant bear man. A bugbear, that's what he is.
I'm a bugbear.
Your memory is also hazy, and you're not sure actually really who you are. You don't know who any of these people are around you or what they're doing here, or this strange collection of creatures that for some reason have amassed here on this hilltop.
I'm allergic to cats.
As this house cat, who is of course already on his feet, but eyes pop open. And you are very confused looking around. You are having very clear thoughts. Any of the words that have been said, you've understood them, which wasn't always the case in the past. So what do these other people see when they look over?
Well, I'm a cat of many colors. But most prominent is my black and silver sheen. And of course, being a cat, I'm fully nude.
Oh, man.
Wow.
This is... Why is it all such a bad combo?
Oh, my God.
Whatever, man. Sam picks.
I'm a medium-sized cat, and... Like I said, I'm a cat of many colors. Mm. I just look like a regular old cat of many colors.
Okay.
That's me.
Listen,
excellent.
Here, Buster. You gotta put some clothes on.
Wow, is it raining right now?
It is starting to rain.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
So, the five of you, lying in a kind of star pattern on the ground.
Oh, yes!
Looking around, looking at each other, you notice the grass, the parched and spotty grass that you're laying in, appears to be burned and scorched in some areas. And looking around, you are on a flattened hilltop. There are trees, it's wooded, you see a lot of large stones around you. It's a very rocky area. Some of these, all the stones are very dark color, almost black. A lot of them are large, taller than you guys are, and looking around, but there is one specifically as it is directly behind, Drandy Savage. As you turn and you see it, Drandy and the rest of you, there is one standing stone behind you that is, it's dark, it's black, and the front face of it is polished to like a mirror sheen that you can almost see a reflection of yourself in it. Not quite, it's blurry, it's hazy, but it's definitely strange that there's this single pillared stone here, and to have it be that worked and polished. And looking at it, it immediately fills you with a sense of dread. And as we're going with the Sandy Peterson Cthulhu Mythos rules, two levels of dread.
I feel doubly dreaded.
Oh, hell yeah, brother. I'm feeling it too.
It almost is the similar dread to that sense you got from that vision you had. So, with two levels of dread, each level there are seven stages of dread that you can get into, and they will compound as you as more things give you dread. So at first level of dread, you are disturbed, and you must succeed on a wisdom saving throw against the dread that you see in order to move closer to it. At level 2, you are spooked, and you automatically fail on the saving throw to approach the dread's source. And you have disadvantage on ability checks while the dread source is within the line of sight. So I'm actually going to let you make a wisdom saving throw against this dread effect.
All of us?
Yeah. So because you all see it. All of you kind of, like, Drandy Savage, you turn around and you see it. And the rest of you also, you see him what look at this? It. And then it all your attention is just drawn to it. It's kind of at the center of this clearing on the far end. And it just starts to absorb your attention. So everybody make a wisdom saving throw.
So I just roll my
your D20.
D20.
Yep. And so you guys will see there's a section on your character sheet that says saving throws.
8. I got a 12.
So add your wisdom modifier onto that.
I got an 8.
I got a 6.
14 with my wisdom plus 2. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
So wait, do I...
I got the 1. My wisdom modifier is plus 1, though, so I got 2.
Yeah, so that's a critical fail.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, brother, I got 6 plus 1.
I'm off to a great start.
So 7. I got a 14.
Abe, what did you get?
I got a 12.
12? Okay, none of you succeed.
What? 14's pretty good.
So all of you, it is pretty good. But, so you are filled with a sense of dread, and you cannot bring yourselves to move any closer to this object as you're looking at it.
Stay back, chaps.
And then it's kind of, it starts to settle in looking around that you don't know where you are. You have no idea where you are and how you ended up here. You don't know who you are, except for maybe your name. You don't know who the people are around you. And so, taking a glance around, I want you guys to roll a perception check.
So I add my modifier to that, bitch. Or don't I, brother?
Yeah, add your perception modifier.
So I got 18.
21,
I
brother.
I got 13.
8.
I rolled a 13, so then I'll add my 4.
Yeah, then so add your 4 on your perception.
17.
Abe?
I rolled 13. Total.
13. Okay. So what'd you get again, Sam?
I got an 8.
Okay. So, and you got, like...
I got 18.
18. So basically everybody except for the cat who's just bends over and starts
licking himself.
Yeah. The rest of you looking around, so you see this black stone that is filling you with dread. And the sky is overcast. It has just started to sprinkle with rain. It's about maybe, it's still in the morning. And looking around and looking through the trees, you can actually see down at the bottom of the hill and a little ways away, you can actually see a village through the trees that looks like if you've managed to navigate through here, you know, a few hours away, maybe a half day at most, nearby down there at the base of the hill.
Did you say half a day?
Yeah, if, you know, at most.
Is that even with the cat with the stubby legs?
Well, it depends on how well you guys navigate.
We're not carrying you.
I'm actually pretty fast. As the crow flies.
So, also, I don't think we got all of your guys' names. Or you guys could introduce yourselves to each other and ask some questions to each other.
I don't know you, chaps. I'd like to get to know you. My name's Tim. Who are you?
Are you talking to me?
I'm looking right at you.
My name is Glenn. Glenn Gulia. I'm a ghoul.
If you hadn't noticed.
Is your wife's name Julia?
Yes, but my wife died a tragic death many years ago when I ate her.
Jeez. Whoa. Overshare. You don't know that.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
You vaguely have a vague recollection.
I don't know. I may have a wife. That's it for me.
Well, my name is Major Baker's Cat.
I'm a major in the feline battalion of Uranus.
You are actually, that is his subclass or subrace of cat.
I'm from Uranus.
Yes.
The planet, not your butthole.
Growl. Have you checked? Also, Major Baker's cat, as you say that out, like, and you're kind of shocked that you're actually speaking. You don't know if you could have done this before. Also, you don't know if you remember if you had a name before.
Oh, wait. Am I actually... Can you understand me?
Is it just me, or is that
Is it just me, or am I
talking?
Speaking?
You do. You can't understand him. Yes,
no,
you can.
No, he's talking.
So, I'm not just saying meow.
Yes. Yes, you're speaking.
Is that a bear?
That's a bugbear. Yes. I, myself, my name is Mathan Ursa.
Ursula?
Ursa.
Ursula?
Come here, cat. I'll tie you in a knot.
Oh, kinky.
I can't win. Yes.
The name is...
Okay, so what do you guys do?
Perhaps we should move toward that town. I bet they have a pub. Well, perhaps they're in need of some entertainment. So, just a thought.
Dom Drunkard wants a pub.
I kind of do.
I would have to agree with the ghost here.
All right, so that's what you guys are doing. You're going to start heading towards that town?
Should we start heading towards that town?
All right, gents. Stick to the shadows. Stay close to the trees.
Does anybody know what that black pillar is?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, is there any way we could, like, do a perception on that rock? That looks like a portal.
Yeah, you guys can roll perception.
All right.
You guys can roll a perception check.
All right. Let's perceive.
17.
But you guys are going to have disadvantage.
Oh. Why?
Because of your level of dread. I want you guys to also write down that you have 2 dread.
Where do we write that?
Yeah, where do I write that?
Just anywhere on your sheet.
I'm going to write it under...
Just write 2 dread and then also write, you know, for this black rock.
Oh, it's because we failed our dread roll. That's why we have...
So you guys have 2 dread and it's directly associated with this rock. So
I rolled a 5.
With your level 2 of dread, you have disadvantage on ability checks while you're in Wild's Envision.
So this is black rock.
I
rolled a 19
and a 1.
He's
trying to take over the world.
Oh, critical fail.
Yeah, I got a 1, brother.
Dang, I got a 19 on that one. So I got a 13 plus 4, so I got 17.
Okay.
That's my worst.
I got a plus 5. Heck yeah.
I got an 8. That's my worst.
I got a 5.
So I got a 6.
A 5.
So I rolled a 1.
All right, so rolling perception, looking at it, looking closer, like, it is a rock. Like, it hasn't been made of anything else. It's, like you said, looks like a portal. It is a large pillar of stone, and it looks like a natural pillar except for this front face that is facing all of you. Or I guess this is Tim that's getting all of this.
Yeah,
so you're kind of moving side to side so you can get a better look at it. You can't bring yourself to move any closer to it because of the feeling that it fills you with.
Dread.
Of dread. And it's you can almost see a reflection. Almost. You're not sure for a second if all those reflections line up to everything that you are seeing around you.
What's that head?
So, you can't discern much else about it from what you're seeing.
I can't discern much about this rock, but it gives me the willies. I think we better jog on.
Okay, so you guys are going to start moving towards the town?
Yeah.
All right, I want you to make, as you're trying to navigate your way down this hill, either a nature or survival. All right, let's go for survival.
Yes.
Oh, no.
My nature's negative one.
Everything you're making us roll is wisdom.
Survival.
I got a 16 plus 2. Ooh,
I rolled a 6.
I got a 13.
I got an 18, brother. Hell yeah.
All right, what'd you get, Sam?
I got a 13.
Okay.
I got a 6.
All right. Well, awesome. You guys do succeed in navigating your way through without getting too lost, even though you don't know really where you're going, just kind of from eyeballing where that town is and then just working your way down the hill through.
Wait a minute.
We my never, cat does have
what
the
about
ability
my thong?
To see
did my thong to get
pretty
anything?
Well in darkness.
You guys rolled high enough that you can guide everybody
follow
down.
Us.
Oh, hell yeah. Right here, brother.
Please lead the way.
So, Tim and Drandy Savage, yeah, or I don't know what Abe rolled. Also, what is your name, Abe? Oh, yeah. Mathon.
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 Mathonovan.
I rolled a 15.
Okay. Okay, so, also, you know what, Seth? Here you go, pal.
No!
What? He gets a golden ticket?
Already? Golden dice?
Yeah, he gets a golden ticket?
This is Bo-Shiza.
You guys heard
his
intro.
It's his first time.
All right, you heard that intro?
But I've been singing golden this whole time.
My intro was amazing.
My intro was incredible.
That's why
your
he got...
Your intro sucked.
That's why it's my birthday.
Birthday inspiration.
What do I do with this thing?
That's your... You can use it to re-roll something.
Oh,
it's like it's like having advantage.
Nice.
Is it a one and done?
And you can choose when you want to use it. Yeah.
Nice. Does it use it or lose it?
You can hang on to it as long as you want.
We're walking toward the town.
Okay, but the thing is that you can always earn more inspiration. So. But you can only have one at a time.
Cool, shut your good mouth.
All right, so working your way down... the rain is it's still sprinkling. It's not very heavy, and you're working your way through the undergrowth, the trees. It's a fairly heavily wooded hill that you're working your way down. From what you're able to sense, that this isn't your first time out navigating through the woods, through nature. So you're able to make your way pretty effectively. It still does take you hours to get down there. So you are coming down near the village, which as you're getting closer, you see it's not very large. It's down in this valley that's just beneath this hill. Mostly stone buildings, though a lot of wood and thatch. As you are up at a higher vantage point, you see there is a large stone... manor that's at the far end of town that has a wall around it that definitely looks a lot more important. And when I say far end of town, I mean you see a large stone manor that's about at the center of town and has a wall around it. Looks a lot nicer, fancier than most all of the other structures. As you make your way, there's a little bit of farmland as you're moving in closer to the town, down in the foothills, and as you find a road and a path that's leading you to this small village. There's a few small kind of thatched houses on the outskirts. I want you guys to make a perception check as you're moving in, or maybe an insight. Actually, make an insight check.
Insight.
Yeah.
All right. I got a 17.
I got a 5.
14.
Fail.
The heck! You can't roll under 15.
I
guess not.
I got a 5.
Ooh.
Okay.
Wow.
14 for me.
Can't do it.
You're not a cat. Stop it.
Meow.
I'm just going to talk like this from now on.
Okay, keep talking.
I got a 5.
Go. Okay, 5.
That's not how I talk.
I got a 5, brother.
Okay, Sam?
I got an 11.
Mathon? Mathon?
Mathon.
Mathon.
I got a 14.
Alright, so Mathon and Tim. The thing you notice as you're moving in through this farm area and getting closer to the town, you don't see hardly anybody out. There's nobody out working the fields. You see maybe one or two people that are close to their houses. When they see you guys coming, they duck back inside. All right, so you guys make it to the town proper after you're moving past all of this, the kind of farm area. working your way in. You see a lot of houses. From when you were observing the town from above, it did look like there was maybe a shop, mercantile kind of area that was closer to the center of town. So what do you guys want to do?
Should we move towards the mercantile area, or should we move towards the larger structure that looked fancy?
I would like to use my divine sense.
What?
Okay.
All right, I want to sense anything about 60 feet around me in any direction.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, but I'm going to just... Oh, shit. Sorry.
You've got to quit smoking.
Heck no, brother. All right, so how do I use divine sense? What does it say right here?
Your divine sense, you
charisma.
You just use it. You can use it as many times as your charisma modifier, I believe.
Three times.
Yeah, and... why don't you read it to me? What does it say? So Divine Sense is a paladin ability that you get at level 1, which we've all started at level 1.
Yeah. The presence of strong evil registers on your sense like a noxious odor. The power of good rings like heavenly music in your ears. As an action, you can open your awareness to detect such forces. Until the end of your next turn, you know locations of any celestial, fiend, or undead within 60 feet of you that is not behind total cover. You know the type. Celestial, fiend, or undead. Of any of being worse present you sense, but not its identity, the vampire count Strahd von Vorovich, for instance. Within the same radius, you also detect the presence of any place or object that has been consecrated or disintegrated as a hollow spell. You can use this feature a number of times equal to 1 plus your charisma modifier. When you finish a long rest, you regain all expended uses.
Okay, so using your divine sense...
I sense the ghoul.
Yes, sense.
Jeez, I wonder what all that was for.
You don't sense anything else around you, but you do get a sense of an undead nearby directly traveling with you.
I stab him.
Okay.
It doesn't work because I'm undead. Blocked.
You can make him re-dead.
Stop giving him ideas.
I'm gonna re-dead him.
Okay, so as you're walking through, and you kind of have, you still do have a little bit of an uneasy feeling. As you guys have left the presence of that stone up on the hill, your dread has slowly faded away. Also, it's been a while, too.
Do we have zero dread now?
You're down to zero dread.
Zero dread.
Though, down into the village, as you're coming in, you are getting a sense of unease. Especially as... most anybody that sees you guys on the street as you're coming up immediately ducks into whatever building they are nearby or hurries away from you.
They don't see me.
Down a different street.
You'll never see Tim.
Old woman.
Man. Do you call out to an old woman?
I do. Old woman.
There is an old woman that is walking. She turns and she looks at you and immediately flees the other direction.
Wait, I just want to play you a song. Please let me play you a song.
I think you need to keep to the shadows like me.
You said there was like an old stone manor somewhere.
Yeah, that was closer to the center of town.
I'm going to that place. Who wants to go with me?
I'm really the only one that might be able to go in somewhere without freaking someone out. Is that right?
I'm a cat. I can go in. As long as I don't speak, then I won't freak anyone out.
This is true.
I might be very useful.
He does look like a normal cat. Dragonborns aren't necessarily like monsters, though they're not super common. But yeah, the bugbear is quite an alarming, intimidating presence.
Perhaps we should have thought this through.
Yeah, with a name like My Thong, man,
as is this
freak
ghoul.
People out.
As is the ghoul.
Yeah.
I thought maybe the paisley ascot I'm wearing would be disarming.
Hey, Tim, cat.
Yes.
Let's go in here. I'm a paladin. Ooh. I help people with the righteousness and shit. Let's go help them.
How many legs does the cat have?
I've got 4 legs.
The regular amount of
legs?
I'm
a regular-looking cat.
run
had
a bit
I been
house
a, cat. I think it's a Saturnian cat, I could have had up to 7.
Well, what do we really want to do, chaps? Do we want to go in a shop and ask around a bit of what's going on?
Can we go knock on some doors?
Or would we go to the mansion?
Yeah, you can.
Is there anybody a node that looks important?
I could go snoop around as a kitty cat.
Or anything like that?
And they dance.
Gotta make a spot hidden.
You can roll a perception check.
It's a perception.
Everybody you've seen so far looks pretty common. Everybody's wearing very threadbare clothes. Nothing that looks expensive or
wearing bare clothes.
Do any of the homes have doggy doors or open windows that I can go inside? Mm.
There is a doggy door on one, but there's a small Russian man standing in it.
Oh, it's Dalistan Ranimo.
Hello, it's me. Damodrovsky.
FYI, ghouls are living creatures.
Okay.
Living organisms.
Yes, so I don't sense him.
Oh, so he's not cold-blooded.
Okay, so you didn't sense him then at all. You didn't sense anything.
But they do eat the dead and the undead.
I did know that. Mm. I'm partial to...
All right, I'm making perception. Here we go.
The very sweet.
Are they sensitive to sunlight in this game?
We do see 13. Well in the dark.
13. All right, looking around. Also, as you're here in town, it's sparsely populated. You don't know if there's just not a lot of people out on the street, but also for the size of the town and how many houses and buildings you've seen, it's surprising how few people are around.
Is it a relatively good-sized town?
It's small, but it's an okay size.
Do any of the homes have lights on that we can see?
Some of them.
What time of day is it?
It's coming into evening.
It's coming into evening. Is there an inn nearby?
There could be. If there was one, then you would suspect it'd probably be near the shop area.
That's
of
where
town,
I'm kind
of
I'm like headed the, through the shop area to look
let's
for the
Let's go
inn.
That way.
Okay.
For a tavern or an inn or a pub.
Did someone say pub?
Yes, Dom.
I'm not Dom. My name is Glenn Goulia.
All right, let's head towards that section of town.
Okay, so as you are heading through, you do finally spot somebody that does actually look like an official, and this is the first one of these that you've seen, like a guard or town watch or something. He does have some armor on. He's carrying a sword that's in a sheath at his hip and with a shield on his back. He looks middle-aged. He has shoulder-length brown hair and a beard. Walking towards you, and he's the first person that's approached you as he comes walking up. He sees all of you, and you see he's got his hand on his sword, though he hasn't drawn it.
I has to breath him.
Okay.
Can I go rub my cat body against his legs and purr and try and charm him?
Yeah, you actually can if you want.
All right, what do I roll? Meow.
Oh, is there a charm? What is it? I can't remember all the skills.
It's persuasion.
Charisma. Performance. Ooh, performance is charm.
Persuade. Intimidate.
All right, I'll let you make a persuasion check persuade him to like you.
Meow.
To maybe calm him.
I rolled a 15. I lick his boot.
So as this man is walking, he's kind of, you know, storming towards you, like very, very intent. He has his hand on his sword. He's got kind of a scowl on his face, which is a bit of a craggy face. Looks like he's seen a few things. Coming towards you as then a cat breaks ranks with the rest of you and wanders up, and it's Major Baker's cat, then starts doing the whole figure eight thing through his legs, and he's like,
does he say?
And he does stop for a second. He's like,
meow.
Hey there, little guy. How you doing?
Excuse me, kind
sir. Stops and kind of like reaches down and starts petting him. Oh. Does actually seem to have calmed him.
Nice work, kitty cat.
Yeah, excuse me, kind sir. Could you please tell us what town this is?
Yes.
Oh.
Okay, look.
Oh.
I'm a perfectly harmless creature.
Look, okay, you've arrived at the town of Evanstone, which, why do you not know where you are? And what are you? I have never seen... I mean, I know humans, and I've seen maybe one or two dragonborn, but I've never seen a bugbear that wasn't trying to murder somebody. And
bear clown.
Whatever you are. But you haven't started any trouble, and you seem to be friends with a very lovable feline here.
Meow.
I'm a ghoul, Don't be filled with dread. I'm perfectly harmless unless you're already dead.
In that case, he'd eat you. By the way, I speak.
Holy, what is
he? He just like shakes his head. He's like, I'm getting too old for this.
You have the fanciest legs of any legs I've heard.
Is there an inn nearby? And what is this giant manor here? Who lives there?
Yes, let me first look. Yes, there is an inn nearby, and I will give you monsters the benefit of the doubt.
The hell you call me, brother?
Since
monster.
I'm talking to you. Talking to the monsters.
Yeah, right. I'm not a monster.
I will give you the benefit of the doubt since you are traveling with such a charming feline and you haven't yet eaten it.
So. It's not dead.
But there's an inn nearby, the Stoneway Inn. It's just two streets down this way and to the left. It's getting late. The manor of which you speak is the mayor's residence.
Hmm. What's his name?
His name is Warder Ebengard.
Warder Ebengard?
Do they have good milk in
this
inn?
That is Ebengard Manor. He's the mayor of this town, and his family has been for generations.
Warder.
That's what it's called, Ebenstone.
Warder.
Warder.
Yeah. But
Ebengard.
Look, I don't... Where are you coming from? Who are you? What is your business here in town?
Well, see, that's the tricky thing. None of us remember. We woke up by a giant black pillar and don't know where we are.
Giant black pillar? Where? From where? What
up
was
that? Up at that hill over yonder, see?
The hill? The hilltop?
The hilltop, yes.
When you say that, you see his face goes kind of pale, and he immediately gets... somewhat disturbed.
Hey, brother, you look like you've seen a ghost.
I can't help but notice you look slightly more dead than you did 10
I start figurating around his legs again.
Something wrong?
Yeah, you. All of you. Look, you strangers, I don't know you. Best would be if you just left. We don't need any more trouble here in town. We don't need any more problems, especially not from that place.
Look, we just need somewhere to stay for the night, and then we'll be off in the morning.
Why does this cat keep talking to me? What is going...
I don't know either. Please. We're all distressed. We need a bed.
All right, fine. Here, listen, brother. We're not going to start any trouble with you, anything like that. That's all on Monday night, all right?
Monday?
Monday.
Monday?
I'm going to take the enemies, and I'm going to fold them, twist them up into a pretzel, and murder them.
On Monday?
On Monday.
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 Monday. Monday. Monday.
Anyways, look, we just need to get some rest. We're all
Monday,
wet.
Monday.
I'm very wet, and cats do not like water.
Excuse me, sir. You said that there was trouble in this town. What's happened here?
Why don't you roll a persuasion? Roll persuasion.
That's my worst thing. 18 minus 1.
Jesus.
17.
Okay.
I lick him and rub his leg.
Do you figure eight between his legs?
Oh, wait, I'm not the cat.
I ride on top of him while he does.
Look, alright, I guess there's no harm in telling you, but I will warn you, though. No, no one here is going to welcome you. There's been problems. People, I don't know if they're leaving or what, but people have gone missing, and there's just an air of bad luck through this town and has been for a while now. And now you come down from that cursed hilltop.
Why is it cursed?
It's bad luck. Nobody goes up there. Nothing good ever comes from it.
Has it always been that way? Is this the reason?
As long as anyone can remember. Hmm. Some go up and they never come back. The last person who came down there was a young boy 10 years ago or so. I can't remember, but nothing good happened after that either.
brought more bad luck to this town.
Does he still live here? What's
no,
his name?
He left shortly after. I don't remember his name. Look, listen to me. If you are going to stay here in town, which I do not recommend it. Look, I'm the sheriff here in town. I am the head of the town watch. The mayor is currently gone. He's left on business. So I am the de facto head of this village for the time.
Can we stay at his place?
This mansion is empty.
Evanstone.
We're on the same brainwave. You and I.
My name is Terrick. Sheriff Cobb, to you. But look, if you do insist on staying, I would advise you get indoors before sundown. Do not come out again until sunrise.
Is there something that happens during the night?
Stoneway Inn. It's just around the corner.
Well, I think we should take his advice, group. Let's head over to the inn.
But remember, I will be watching.
All right, so the rain starts picking up more as you start heading down the road, following the directions that Sheriff Cobb gave you. Again, you see everybody heading inside. Everybody's now rushing around to get indoors. And you do see it opens up a bit to kind of a market square area. There's a shop that says General Store. And there is what appears to be an inn with a sign hanging that says Stoneway Inn.
Hey everybody, Sam here. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Arkham Files. Got a lot of cool stuff coming your way, so stay tuned. And don't forget to check out our website, www.arkhamrpg.com. Thanks. Dragons were injured in the recording of this episode.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.